What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about all of the biggest and best in sports, music, movies, and TV. I'm Ralph Compiano. I'm your host, joined as always by my co-host Mike Cerrone and the Popcorn Boys. This week we are back for another round of Spit or Swallow, some popcorn picks. But first things first, big week in the sports world. We've got the college basketball madness, the middle of March. We're really in it right now. And then NFL free agency also kicked off this week. It technically kicked off like 3 hours ago, but all of the deals get done super early. And so I've assigned everybody to come up with one of their favorite free agency destinations, one of their favorite signings. A lot of big news happening this week, a lot of running back movement. Go ahead, Cerrone. You got the floor, man. I mean, you got the big guy. You got King Henry. It's just like a total departure from like every other running back they've ever had. Like, it's usually like just fill in the blank running backs. And now you have literally the most famous running back in the world right now, other than McCaffrey.
He didn't even have to say it. That's cracking me up.
You knew I was going to talk about this.
I assigned everybody homework, but I'm going to do Cerrone's for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was an obvious one. Do you like Saquon to the Eagles a little bit better, Cerrone, or do you like Derrick Henry to the Ravens?
I'll talk about two signings. I don't really know how much to talk about it, but I just can't believe people can't even touch Lamar in general. We almost made the Super Bowl in general last year with his absolute, he's getting a little bit old. Okay. But he's still got, I think, exactly what we signed him for, two more years in his prime.
Yeah.
He's literally a refrigerator with legs, a furnace with legs going up the middle, up the gut, his top speed. They're gonna have to respect that, load the box. And you got our weapons on the outside. You can't control Henry and Lamar. There's so much going on in my brain right now. I can't even wrap my head around like what next season is going to be like. I'm just fucking ecstatic. I'm just very simply fucking ecstatic. He's built for Ravens football. Just hard nose, giving people bruises, bloody nose, and straight up the middle. The guy's got a good top speed as well, but I couldn't be more excited. One thing that ripped my heart out, I'll just talk about this, is Queen went to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to talk about that I can talk a little bit more about that later, but I was sad for like 3 hours. Like, I was pissed off. I unfollowed him, like unliked all my pictures that I've ever liked on his photos. Like, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but that's my least favorite signing.
Dead you could have
picked 30 other teams. I'm going to try not to raise my voice. Staying at my friend's house. Could have picked 30 other fucking teams. I'll leave that at that for now. We're going to kick your ass twice next year with our fucking furnace with legs. Derrick Henry, Ravens, Super Bowl champions next year. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
I'll counter this really quick. We were talking about it in one of our Madden group chat, essentially. And, you know, Petey's really excited about it. And then Bordy is just always the realist here. So he sends in this stat. And it's the last 14 Super Bowl winners and the base salary for their running backs. You have Pacheco, 2022, $870K. Cam Akers, $890K. Fournette in 2020, $2 million. That was the highest one. You got Damian Williams, $1.05 million. Sony Michel, $480K. LeGarrette Blount, $900K. $760K. So,
yeah, Henry's getting like $6 million.
Yep, $6 million with incentives, could be upwards of 16 over the 2 years. I still think it's a great scheme fit. Obviously, just like kind of a juiced up Gus Edwards, so it's not going to be like too much of an identity change for that running back coach in that room.
Literally,
he'll still be able to do kind of the same thing, just at a.
We still got Keaton Mitchell, Thunder and Lightning.
I like that.
He's going to play great off him because you're going to get hit in the face, straight in the face, over and over again, and then he's going to stretch it lateral with Keaton or even just Lamar. Just fucking, you know, it's
Zay on the jet sweeps.
It's just exactly what I don't know exactly what we needed. I don't know if we necessarily needed a running back, you know, Gus, but like a huge upgrade for sure. And it's just, it gets the fans excited. It gets him something to prove. He's at the point where he's a couple more years left in his, you know, career, his prime, and now he gets to chase a ring, a legitimate chance. It takes a little bit of pressure off Lamar.
Yeah.
Because he has an unbelievable running game again, even better now. So yeah, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, it's sick. It's just like a really cool, like, identity change for them. Turner, Reesburg. The Chiefs didn't do like anything too splashy. They just happened to bring back the best D tackle in the league. You guys got Irv Smith as a nice tight end. I'm not doing the homework for you. I'm just stating the obvious. You guys got Drew Tranquil back, all this kind of stuff on good deals. But yeah, you did your homework. Go ahead. Show it to the class.
It's going to be Calvin Ridley.
That's no, mine is Kirk Cousins.
Oh, you like this one. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, it's more of just a respect for what the guy's done in terms of career earnings. He just signed another fatty contract. He's only won one playoff game in his entire career. And after this new contract, he has $331 million of earnings. Holy so he's getting paid $331 million for each playoff career playoff win throughout his history. It's insane. You know what's also neat is, I mean, I see why RG3, you know, he's a pundit now. He's always talking about, I could come back to the league. Well, Kirk Cousins, you know, he just has to watch Kirk Cousins, who was his backup, just cashing $100 million checks over and over again. This guy didn't even make $1 million his any of his first 4 years, and he just mastered the art of betting on himself. I don't really know how to work out for the Falcons. They got some young skill players. It'll be much better than watching Desmond Ridder week in, week out. So we'll see how Drake London, Pitts, and some of those other guys now play with Cousins, who is coming off a torn Achilles, and I think that just only speaks to what the quarterback market has became and what quarterbacks mean to the NFL franchise. Like, if you don't have one of these top 15 guys and one of them hits the open market, it's going to be a massive contract. And we see each time, we saw Lamar.
Atlanta's going to love Kirk.
Signed for a massive contract. It just makes you think, like, last year, the same Falcons organization had a chance at signing him, and they're taking now a 36-year-old Cousins. But
that's true. They could have Lamar.
Yeah, shout out Kirk Cousins. It's a lot of Coles cash.
Yeah, he can spend this on cardigans. He can buy, you know, a bunch of frozen dinners for his family.
He comes back after his ACL?
It was Achilles, which might be even worse for a person at that age. Yeah. But, you know, Achilles. He doesn't rely on his mobility much. Like, that's never been, like, his forte, obviously. Like, he can improvise, the slightest bit for a white quarterback that's 36 years old.
Dude, how about – you guys aren't going to get rid of Fields, are you?
We can talk about that later. I've been thinking about
Cousins' guarantee is exactly 100 mil, which is just a baller number for a guaranteed contract.
That is really cool.
4 years, 100 mil.
Especially if that injury.
Best agents. Bet on himself.
I don't know who his agent is.
We need him to represent us.
Yeah, no shit. We'd be sponsored by Starry right now if he was the one that was representing us. But no, I mean, it's just funny because it's like you take the whitest quarterback in the league and you put him in probably like the hoodest market. You know, you put him like with Bijan, they're going to be lining up next to each other in shotgun, hysterical.
They're going
to
eat him up though, man. They're going to have so much fun.
And they signed Darnell Mooney too. So like, that's just another receiver that I like and will be, I think, a little bit more successful with a better pocket passing quarterback than a Fields and Bears led offense. Berg, what about you? What's standing out to you in this, these last couple of days?
Yeah, the Falcons are just throwing money out. My pick, well, first off, got to do a little apologies if I'm not sounding electric, like my high energy usual self. Got a little cold going on. It's trying to keep me down. I'm not going to let it keep me down, though. So my play, you know, you guys brought some good picks up here. These are fun. These are going to help some teams out. We'll see with the Falcons. I don't know about that one. But I'm going for a little bit more entertainment in the NFL, and I just love the Cleveland Browns show, man. They just bring in a new QB every year. They're like, they get their fan base fired up. They're like, this is the guy. Last year's guy, we thought he was the guy. He's not the guy.
Wait, this who did year, they sign?
They're bringing in Jameis Winston.
Do you think he'll start, though? Over?
Who knows? Who knows? I'm just glad he's on the team. I'm glad he has an opportunity. I'm glad that we can talk about, you know, the potential of him starting. In a perfect world, though, he is starting. He comes back. He wants comeback player of the year. That's what I'd want. That'd be entertainment for me in the NFL. And that's why I watch the NFL, because it's entertaining. And we need Jameis Winston to be a star face of the league, because we just need people walking out here holding W's and just eating them like that.
Yeah,
that's just good for everybody.
So sad that he left the Saints.
It hurt everywhere, all over, everywhere. Hurt.
So I'm excited just for the prospect of him being there and then just running the Cleveland Browns show, because they were pretty decent last year, carried by their defense. But I think they're going to regress this year. Honestly, I think the Ravens are going to regress this year just compared to where they were last year. I think we're going to see the Bengals quarterback, Joe Burrow,
literally, and
the Bills quarterback, Josh Allen.
The Bengals lost two O-linemen. They lost T. What's his name?
I'm just saying, I just got a feeling. You know, I haven't heard from Joe Shiesty in a year. He was injured. Josh Allen is probably a little upset about how his last season went. So I'm just expecting those guys to come back.
To your point, the Browns were a better team with Flacco last year, if you can believe that, but they were. Jameis has a lot of Flacco in him. He's kind of just a gunslinger. He's going to let it fly.
I guess so, yeah, maybe.
You don't think that Jameis has a lot of Flacco?
I thought just right off the bat, I was like, what? And then he does, because Flacco would throw ducks to Jacoby Jones just for 60, 70, 80 yards at a time. Yeah, dude, Karp was so sad when Jameis left. He texts me, he's like, dude, the dynasty's over. There's like a picture of him
the 9-8 dynasty.
Dude, Deshaun Watson does not want to play football anymore. Like, you can just tell that guy fucking is just it seems like he's depressed. It's almost like a Jalen Hurts type.
Jalen Hurts is in a way better position than Watson.
I wonder what Deshaun's seeking to happiness was. No, I wonder what he's missing out on that's changing his mood.
He's probably going to get back. He's going to church a lot.
Two things.
Unfulfilled.
First thing is Berg, just programming note, just turn your gain down just a little bit on your mic. And then the second thing is
you were screaming. I don't know if that was just me.
You brought up Jameis. First things first. And it's just funny because that's way better. It's just funny because it's like, you know, we go Derrick Henry and then we go Kirk Cousins, like the two biggest announcements. And you would think that sequentially would make sense for us to talk about Saquon, who's probably gotten the most airtime out of other than those two. And you're like, I just like the Cleveland Browns quarterback train that just keeps rolling and rolling. And the Flacco gene and Jameis is definitely true. And
I've never heard of a Flacco Jameis Winston comparison.
I think it works. Like, we're the first ones to come up with it. I love that because I'll buy it. He's one of my favorite players in the league. Not from a personality standpoint, but just like I had a t-shirt that accidentally got delivered to me in the mail. And it was just the 30 for 30 logo with Jameis like in a cartoon version. And it was like a red long sleeve. And rocked that piece. Oh, it was great.
How did it accidentally get delivered to you? Was it for somebody else?
Carp.
I don't know. It just showed up on my doorstep.
Probably slid that way.
Did it have your name on it? It said for Ralph.
No, it didn't have a name on it. It just had 325 South Lucas, Iowa City. And I was like, I did not order this. I must have been, I was drunk when I ordered it.
Do you know how hard it is to lead the NFL in touchdowns and interceptions? Yeah. It's like every possession you're either throwing an interception or a touchdown. There's like no in between,
there's
dude.
No checkdowns
there's
at
no
all.
No in between. They're not punting the ball with Jameis. He's full throttle.
He's the spiritual animal of this pod. Like, I love him so much. But I think we should talk about a couple of running back moves that also happened. So Aaron Jones going to your division rival, going to the Vikings. Can't get him out of the NFC North. That's pretty exciting. I don't know who their quarterback is going to be in Minnesota. They signed Darnold, but I think they have the 11th pick. They'll probably try to get a McCarthy or a Penix, something like that in that range. Turner, if you're looking at the NFC North, you know, you see the Bears who are kind of on the rise. The Lions are the odds-on favorites in the division. And then Love looked pretty good with the Packers. Is there a quarterback in this draft that you like to the Vikings? Would Penix make sense there to kind of fill the Cousins role? I mean, you automatically get Jefferson, you get Aaron Jones. So they're really one just game manager away from being a solid team again.
I'm not a JJ believer. I do think Penix could be a left-handed Russell Wilson. He throws such a nice deep ball. So I would go Penix over JJ, but I'm not a quarterback guru. I just know watching college football this year, JJ did not impress me. I know that he does some of these, he has nice footwork.
He
does
the fucking title.
It's a team game, though.
Yeah, how many yards did he throw for in the championship? 120?
But a win is a win. He might not impress you, but
didn't
lose a single game.
Too much barefoot action for me. You know, put your shoes on. Okay. I'm not trying to see your feet before the game, dog.
Does he not wear cleats? Is he barefoot out there?
Oh, dude, he just goes out there and meditates against the goalpost right before the game.
I'm just busting your balls. He didn't really, he's not special. But
I mean, they have to take a QB now. And it could be a blessing in disguise, because where were the Vikings? This iteration of the Vikings going to go with Kirk next year? It might just be best to start the rebuild. And there's been talks about JJ getting traded. I mean, he's, what, 25 and the best receiver in the league. So you might be able to get a haul for him. But if you're not paying Kirk, you might as well pay JJ so you can bring in that, you know, young quarterback that's going to have a – you know, a release valve at all times and a go-to target, which I think is huge for the confidence. And we've seen it more than anything, is that the skill set's huge for, you know, an NFL quarterback coming in, but it's the confidence. Like Sam Darnold seeing ghosts, Mac Jones, once you lose it, like, and once you lose that confidence and the positivity stops, it's really hard to get that back because it's such a mental position.
Yeah.
Did Mac Jones just get cut? Like, did anybody pick him up?
Yeah, the Jaguars did. So now he's backing up Trevor Lawrence, who's in the same draft class as him, which is hysterical. But to the point of like the confidence thing, it's like we just saw it this last year. Like Young obviously like did not have the ideal season with Carolina, and Stroud was the exact inverse of that. And it's just the kind of culture that you build. I like Minnesota. Like I think if you immediately step into a situation where you have one, the best receiver in the league. And then I also like Osborne and Addison a lot too, as 2 and 3. You got Hawkinson. Like you got studs all over the board. Like that's, I think you go for the older quarterback there in Penix, but that's getting away from free agency.
Houston got some good pieces too.
Yes. Yeah. They got Daniel Hunter, the edge rusher, and Bernard from Houston went to Minnesota. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about Saquon really quick. I think it's going to be, I don't know if there's a bigger culture change from going to a team with the Giants offensive line and infrastructure to going with the Eagles offensive line and infrastructure. And I've been thinking a lot about McCaffrey recently. Simmons was talking about this on his pod, but I think it was a great point. You know, the identity just changed for the Niners. Like they've been doing these fill-in running backs, and that's not what the Eagles have been doing necessarily. I think Swift is a good back, but you know, you have Gainwell out there and Boston Scott. When you get like a superstar in the backfield, it just puts so much more pressure on the defense. Like what McCaffrey was able to do for San Francisco the last year and a half versus what Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon and even Mostert can do for them. Opened everything up, dude. It opens up the play action. It opens up Debo and Ayuk and Kittle. And I think that they have one of the more talented offenses in the league. And last year, I think like the second half of the season, they were just way too pass happy. They kind of went away from their identity of mauling people, which is what they should be. They should just maul people.
Dude, Swift, I was going to say DeAndre, because I know the Bears got him, Bears. Which is, I assume you'd be super fired up for that.
I like
because
it,
the first half of the season, Swift was nasty.
Animal.
And then just stopped running the ball. So I don't really – like how much really of an upgrade is Saquon? I mean, DeAndre Swift's obviously not like insane, but like if you don't run, if they stop running the ball, it doesn't matter who the – like they just kind of shot themselves in the foot.
Right.
I'm very excited to see those games. He is going to get absolutely shit on when they play – the Giants, whether it's in Philly or whether it's in New York. But you guys see the whole Tiki Barber thing, like the beef they had on Twitter, Saquon and Tiki. Yeah, dude, it's, I mean, I'll talk about it. Yeah, you just can't go to where, I don't know why. I get it. There's a money and he's thinking about winning a ring and his best, but like, I don't know, man. You just cannot do that. He's just going to get that game when they go back to, it's going to be insane when they go back.
It's kind of like in Fever Pitch, you know, where, Jimmy Fallon's character goes out for dinner after, you know, the Red Sox lose game three in the playoffs. And he sees the players out for dinner having a good time laughing. And he's like, Ryan, man, you know, this is just a game for them. This is their job. The fans, the ones that leave their heart on the line, you know, and can't sleep at night. Saquon, you know, for some of the times these players, it's just they don't have those same feelings about the interdivision rivals. But you want them to have it.
But I get it. It's a job. You know, because don't you? Because I know this drives me like just
the fever pitch call out is insane, by the way. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was out of left field, but it worked perfectly again. You got Jameis and Flacco, and you got fever. That was your 2 for 2. who's the Chiefs? Doesn't it drive you fucking crazy when the Raiders beat the Chiefs, and then after the game, everybody's all buddy-buddy? Now, I get it. You've played with some of these guys. Like, it's just, you know, you're making money. But, like, as a fan, man, when the Ravens lose to the Steelers and Lamar's out in the middle of the field joking, laughing, and I'm, like, crying, like, doesn't that drive you fucking nuts?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have as much of an issue with, like, the players going interdivision because I think of it in terms of like, all right, so with Saquon specifically.
Green Bay. When you guys get dragged by Green Bay and they're like, but that just fucking.
So Adrian Amos went from Chicago to Green Bay and he was clearly not good as a player when he went to Green Bay. So I was more like in the position where I'm like, I'm glad we didn't give him this contract. Now he's in Green Bay eating up their salary cap. And on Saquon's perspective, it's like the Giants didn't give him the respect that he deserved. Like they fed him the ball last year and gave him really nothing to work with and expected him to make magic happen. So he's like, all right, fuck it. If you're not going to give me a bag, like I'm going to go where the best that's fit true. Is for me and where they're going to give me those money. So it's like, why not go for that hustle?
That's true. And he also, it's point, almost though, like a revenge thing.
To Mike's point, the NFL like, works because like the rivalries in the interdivision, like the NFC North, the NFC East, like those are great examples of like, every time you play those teams, it's just worth twice as much. And then I look at the NBA, not to overcompare it, but like they completely went away from their divisions and divisional rivals. Yep. And it kind of lacks a little bit in that sense where I have, you know, group chats with friends that have a lot of NFC North allegiances. And it's just all day, every day. It's like, oh, the Vikings suck. Ah, the Bears, they don't know what to do with Fields. It's like, it's not three more teams to root for, but it's three more teams to root against, which is just as much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm checking when the Ravens play every week. The first thing after the Ravens, then I check immediately to see if the Browns, the Steelers, and the Bengals won. Because that's like at the end of the day, like that's almost just as important as fucking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I feel you. That's what. Yeah.
Nobody cares about the divisions so in the NBA. Fun. Nobody's like Pacers Cavs rivalry tonight. Like
this I didn't even know lit. There was. I knew there was obviously East and West. I didn't even know there was fucking divisions within the fucking. That's crazy.
I mean, now it's more just like they just is beef like stirring from playoff matchups when the Suns and the Mavericks go at each other. You know, Booker and Luka are liable to get in some sort of fight or something along those lines.
Luka the Heat and the Celtics.
Yeah, that stuff's just the best. All right.
The Celtics 76ers, they still get a little shiesty?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
When Embiid's hurt, then the injuries, like, or not the rivalry, is kind of diluted when Embiid is hurt versus the Eagles and Cowboys. It doesn't matter if Hurts is injured. They're still going to be a rivalry. It's going to be a
bloodbath. Yeah.
Right? Because they only play twice a year versus the Celtics and the Sixers play 3-4 times a year, sometimes 7 or 8 times a year if they go against each other in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, we need more Thunder Pacers because those teams were kind of beefing last night. I'm like, can we get these people to match up more than twice? I need that.
The Pacers.
Dude, they're so
Roy Hibbert? Pacers were a force with Roy Hibbert. That was when LeBron was on. They had to go through the Pacers. That was crazy.
All right, let's move into Spit or Swallow now. Berg, you know, you've been a little bit on the quieter side. You know, you're feeling down a little bit. Let's get you on a happy note. Let's start off with a swallow.
Not too down. I was letting you guys talk about, you know, what you guys know a little. I'm not as tapped into the NFL all the time around this time of year. And especially with college basketball casual. Going on, I'm just I guess you could call me a casual around this time of the year. I see who gets signed to wear and everything, but I'm just not reading about it as much because it's all going to change by the time we get to July, August. That's when I'll start locking in. I was getting ready to talk about conference week.
Go ahead. Talk about it.
Yeah, I'm talking about it. You're getting ready. You want us to like, do you want me to unlay the carpet again for you? Here's Reesburg on the red carpet. Ready to talk about conference week. Go ahead. Say your swallow.
I thought I'd be let in with a little bit of a topic, but no, fuck conference week. It's almost over. It's good. Pick Baylor to win the Big 12. If you want a good little money pick right there, I think Houston's got to lose at some point, right? But we'll go into our spin swallow. I'll do a swallow first. And I actually had three prepared. They're all really fun, but I'm going to go with, I was just driving to the grocery store like 30 minutes ago.
Don't choke swallowing all that shit.
I love this. I already love this.
What are you talking about? So the song I'll Never Love Again from A Star Is Born came on. So I'm just swallowing A Star Is Born soundtrack right now. And specifically three songs because I don't listen to the soundtrack a lot, but I listen to these three songs all the time. And that's Shallow, obviously.
The Arizona Nights.
Yes. Always Remember Us This Way, number two. And then I'll Never Love Again, extended version. I cried when I listened to that. When you're trying to get in your feels, but in a beautiful way, that's the go-to right there.
Who do you think of, like, in your head when that song comes on.
Dude, I just think of my life in like the most despairing way where, you know, I'm just the main character going through my trials and tribulations and the world's just beating me down, knocking me down, but they can't. Or I'm just, you know, this is my like solemn moment in the movie where they played this sad song and then it's right before the come up. So I'm about to have my come up. I got to go down before I go up.
It's raining.
Did this coincide
with your cold a little bit? This coincide with your cold? You're just feeling a little sick inside? And
yeah, a little bit. I'll Never Love Again came on, and like that doesn't mean anything to me, but you just make it.
A gritty guy.
Yeah. I'm just like, fuck, maybe I will never love again. Injuries. And so that's just kind of how it got me going.
Load management.
All right, what else were you going to swallow?
Load management, with your music. I got to spit two things, right? You'll let me back to back?
If you have three swallows, because that was a shorter one. You know, your grocery store action. I think you can do the other two. But just, yeah, like Turner said, don't choke on it if you're swallowing too much.
Are your other two spits or swallows, Bird?
I got two more swallows, and I can give a spit, too. Let's run through them. Okay, the second swallow is a fun pair of shades, you know, just rocking around. You know when you're just – summertime. You need a pair of shades like this. I don't even know what they are. I got them at a thrift store the other week. I hadn't had a pair of shades in a minute. And you know when you just put them on? And I like big frames that you just know you're going to have fun with. Because when you get hammered, I don't want people looking at my eyes. I don't want people looking at my eyes. So you put on the shades. Everyone just knows you're having fun right away. They completely change who you are, completely change the vibe of everything. And I think it just did when I put them on. Boom, sad, sick guy. Fun party guy. So I'm swallowing a fun pair of shades. It's going to be summer soon. Yeah. Everybody gets your fun pair of shades. Just so when you're on the water, everybody knows that's a fun guy. Because people will come and seek you out because of your fun pair of shades. The last thing with it getting nicer, even though Denver's about to get hit with a snowstorm tomorrow, all schools are closed already. I got to swallow summertime music. It's happening. It's getting there soon. And the shades go with the music. Shoreline Mafia. This ain't a Millie Rock. It's somebody dancing. My dick ain't hard. That's a 30 in my pants. That's a 30
in my pants.
I also got to shout out Phoenix or Scottsdale, Arizona, because I've never gone to a club and heard them play this until I went to Scottsdale, Arizona, and they were playing this.
Damn right.
I wish I remembered the club, but I saw Giudice there. And yeah, I knew I was at home when I walked in. It was Riot. I knew I was at home then when they were playing that.
They were playing Shoreline. You know Reesburg gets to his level when all of a sudden like he confiscates the ox and you start hearing Shoreline. I'm like, Reesburg, really? He's like, what? He rides.
You're a big Shoreline.
I don't support anything about them. I don't want to ever meet them because I think I'd be super disappointed. They probably robbed me. But they don't seem like good people at all. They seem like some of the worst people ever. And that's not even controversial to say at all. You hear what they talk about in their music, all the above. They're not good people. I'm pretty sure all of them – you know what Brockhampton went through? Shoreline Mafia went through that. You know, Brockhampton had the person kind of sending some creepy texts to people. Broke up the whole band. They haven't been the same. That's happened to Shoreline Mafia like six times, but they don't give a fuck. They're uncancelable. They have maybe one or two black dudes, but everybody in the group says the N-word.
I bet they're good people.
That's just who they are. Yeah, I bet they're fun. I partied with them at Riot.
Shoreline Mafia makes like charitable donations.
Yeah,
every now and then,
maybe to the streets.
Yeah, I'm glad you swallowed you those other fire, two. Those are great. Those are great.
Yeah, that was really, really, really good. All right. So Future, I'll swallow Future because he just announced that he's dropping two projects. We have March 22nd. Ooh. So next week he is dropping first album in about 2.5 years. Yup. And then he'll have another album dropping 2 weeks after that. And the last time that Future dropped two albums, back to back weeks. It was Future and Hendrix in 2017. The only time an artist has ever gone number one twice on Billboard in back to back weeks, replacing himself on the charts. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I think that was probably like the peak of Future's awareness back then, but people have definitely been fiending. They did, him and Metro.
But there's no good music out now either. I bet. Yeah. I bet he'll do it again.
But it's just a really cool moment.
Commercially successful album. What is it?
Yeah,
just the Mask self-titled Future.
Just Future.
No, yep. Yeah, that, yeah.
That's when. Yeah. Mask Off was out and all that kind of stuff, but him and Metro came out with a really cool trailer for the project. And Metro is bringing back the Prodigy bandana, the OG from Tribe Called Quest. So it's just kind of this fun thing where it's like, all right, we're getting old school Future. They're talking shit. They're like, there's a bunch of garbage ass rappers out there right now. Not everybody is meant to rap, but this guy is. He was born to do it, and I fully believe
that's
that.
What
so
the,
I've
that's
been
what
listening
the
to
hype video is.
Yes, it's fucking sick.
Oh,
it's kind of like
awesome.
That moment in the Casino when Pesci and De Niro go out and bury somebody in the desert. I think they're like paying homage to that because, yeah, it's just them out in the desert getting out of like an old school Cadillac. It looks so tight.
That's even cooler.
But yeah, I've been listening to nothing but Hendrix for the last week since they announced it. So it's been really fun. Revisiting some projects I don't listen to as much. So what's the one with Save Me? I can't remember that one. And then High Off Life. So yeah, just some revisiting in the Future.
Save Me was like his My Dear Melancholy album.
Yeah,
that was on like
Official, which is
like
the only rap
Saint
album.
St. Lucia's on that one.
St. Lucia.
That was a 2019
damage,
album.
Xanax Damage. Yeah, I can't remember even what it's called, which is bad because I feel like I know every Future project.
It's
back.
It's called Save Me.
No, it's literally called Save Me.
Is it called Save
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Save.
There's not even a song called Save Me. That's just the. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Terrific
Future
album.
Future is back.
Yeah.
Please,
seven songs.
Please.
Future is
me.
Back. Yeah, I mean, go listen to the Future song draft that we did. That was almost like a year and a half ago now with Jarrell. It's a very fun episode. It's in our archives.
Jarrell and the Beater.
Fun fact, it's our longest song draft. I think we did 8 categories for him with 4 drafters.
Oh,
so, and yeah, the Future song draft part 2 will be coming sooner than later. So I'm excited for that. All right, Cerrone, go ahead. What's your swallow?
Well, to be honest, I was going to swallow golf, but I might just swallow Riesberg wearing shades on every podcast.
I was also going
you
to
guys
swallow
said
golf.
Keep them on. I'm not taking them off. It's
no,
too
those
fun.
Are beautiful. I'll swallow golf real quick. Since I've been playing it a lot more, so usually when, you know, the NFL ends and NBA's kind of winded down or the playoffs aren't there and, you know, March Madness ends, it's like just, you know, just the brutal time of the year where it's just baseball and golf. And for years, I just fucking hated it. Like, just the worst 3-4 months of the year. But playing it, getting into it, betting it, I'm all in. I'm following people. I'm, like, more interested. I think golf has, like, exploded the past, like, 2 years, ever since COVID and all that shit. But and betting-wise, I didn't realize how crazy the odds were on golf. Every player to win is plus money except Scheffler. So it kind of gets you excited, gets you following it a little bit more. There's 4 days of it, which is just, you know, you'd almost like, I remember growing up, I never realized that they played. I thought they just played it once, like every other sport. I didn't realize they played it 4 times until like last year. I was like, these motherfuckers play it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I've been full into it, just playing it, following it, betting it so much. You know, there's actually like controversy now with Liv and PJ and all that shit. So I'm buying for the first time ever. I'm just watching golf. Just following it, just betting it. When we were in Scottsdale, Ralphie hit a great bet at the Open. Yeah, I'm all in. It gives me something to do and follow when it's a little bit of lull. So, and then obviously Riesberg with the Kanye shades is just beautiful. I mean, if I see you at a party, if I see your exact this guy with the hat, the 2 t-shirts on, it looks like shades.
It's actually
I'm going right up to you and.
I got these when I was thrifting. It says
endangered
babies.
Dude.
Yeah, I would get
your Future Birds
hat on too. You literally swallowed Future Birds on the pod before too.
Yep,
you got the hat to match.
I'd probably lead with like, hey bro, like, aren't you sweating your ass off with those 2 shirts? And you'd be like, oh, it's actually 1. I'd be like, this guy's even fucking. What is he on? What are you on? It's pitch
black.
Do you
probably roll up and be like, hey, you want to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
No.
I immediately ask you for Adderall.
So this is the first time I've worn this shirt, actually, and I don't think I'm going to wear it again. I think it was a bad cop. If we want to just check this out, this doesn't fit right at all. This is super weird. So
yeah,
I just want to try it on to the pod.
Sleeves are a tough look, but everything else is on point.
Yeah. And to Cerrone's point, you know, Rent Money just came back. They're going to be following golf for us.
Yeah, you, dude, I love how you guys talked about golf like the whole time. I was
Go listen to it now, man. It's good. It's on the pod.
It's fucking hilarious. So, yeah,
make sure to tap in with them. They'll be up every Thursday or every Wednesday.
Good. Yeah, we'll be popping them out every once in a while here and there. And Masters, and you got to get ready for Masters. You got to get just in the mindset.
And then the YouTube birds pod are too, like seeing both of your faces, talking. Just huge on the TV.
And throw a loose in a box out, boys. I don't think anybody listens. It's kind of making me super sad. So
plug them. Shameless plug.
If you want to make an adult man happy, just listen to his podcast.
I often do.
Listen to the Box Out Boys. We'll be on YouTube soon. You're going to want to lock in around now. You're going to want to lock in right now.
It is. It is lock in season. It's now or never.
I feel like, or we could talk, or actually after Turner, but we kind of skipped over March Madness and Championship Week. But
we have a whole pod that I talk about it on, so it's okay.
That's true.
We're going to do a big show next week for like Selection Sunday and all that kind of stuff. It'll be really fun. But go listen to the Box Up, boys. It's great. All right, Turner, what are you swallowing?
Oh, I'm swallowing a couple things too. One, it'll be really quick. So I'm swallowing stadium cups. You go to, this. I went to a Yankees game. Got a stadium cup. Drink out of it all the time. It's the biggest cup I own. Stadium cups to like 20-year-old males that have roommates is like a Stanley Cup to a sorority girl in her 20s. It is just, there's nothing better. I fucking hate the Yankees. Can't stand them. Least favorite baseball team. But I'll drink out of their cups.
Yankees
hell yeah.
Took a hit today.
I love that you brought products.
Yeah. And then the other thing I'm swallowing is free chips and salsa. You can't call yourself a Mexican establishment and limit the chips and salsa. You got to just keep handing them out. I want four bags of chips and salsa with four big bowls. Give them to me. Makes me more pissed. They hand you the check. They charge you $3.99 for chips and salsa. That's not what I signed up for. That's not why I came here. That's not what the show's about. So just as much as I'm swallowing free chips and salsa, I'm spitting making you pay for chips and salsa. That's fucking horseshit. And I won't stand for it. It's usually the gringo places too, the places that all the white people are working at. Not real Mexican food. That's not the standard.
It's also the best when, like, my salsa, because everybody knows the salsa runs out before the chips do, just by nature of dipping. So you got to give me a refill. You got to see that there's a bunch of chips left in the empty salsa can. Bring me over. Don't let me ask for it. I need that. You need to notice that. I need to be on your game.
That's been true all my life, but past 2 years, I think they're doing something with the chips. They're giving you less chips because I've been running out of chips before I run out of salsa. Just past 2 years.
That sounds like
you're not
problem.
You're
how
not
are
dipping
you dipping?
No, no, it's not me. Just like everybody else, I eat chips and salsa in a group. And obviously I'm getting in there, but I'm getting like half salsa, half chip ratio. It's a lot. So I'm really doing my time.
What are they giving you, a gallon? Are they giving you a stadium cup?
No, they're giving you the little bowl that you're imagining at a Mexican restaurant. That's what they're giving me, but they are giving less chips.
It's just endless. It's an endless bowl.
Is there chip shortage?
Going to the restaurant alone?
No. I guarantee you we're going to – if this was a phone call show, we'd be getting tons of phone calls. Yes, this is an epidemic because it's happening. They're running out of chips.
No, it's not. That's insane.
All right. When we do the
I want to go
serious.
To a Mexican spot.
Yeah.
And see how you conduct business, and then I'll make a further evaluation.
They've been –
yeah,
have to teach you a couple things.
Record yourself next time you go, and because
I'm dipping aggressively.
We'll study the tape.
I will. I mean, they get it in. It's okay. You're not used to waiting for them to have to bring the chips over. So it's just all this. Those extra 30
That's
seconds can
worse.
Feel like a lifetime.
Because you can't eat salsa without chips, but you can eat chips. Or
exactly. You can't. Well, no, it goes both
usually,
ways. Goes both ways.
Yeah.
You guys done?
Okay. That's good. Yeah, sorry. That's good take.
Well, I thought you
sometimes
were
this
great take. Dying of laughter in the corner.
I was, but I just put my mic away for a second because I'm like, you know what? Sometimes this podcast just turns into overlapping chatter about chips and salsa, and that's fine. It works. But every now and then it's just like I don't know who to focus on. I'm trying to figure it out myself. Yeah. Like, I'm slow. You guys got to keep that in mind for me personally.
It's very meta for you, Ralph. Very meta for you to analyze
If you're slow, I'm standing still. If you're slow, yeah. I am
caterpillar.
Well, out of curiosity, do you guys ever queso or guac when you do the chips and salsa, or are you strictly salsaing? And also, like, have they adapted to like bringing out the verdes too? Because usually it's just red, like tomatillo salsa.
I fucking love it when people order guac and queso, because it literally just means more chips and salsa for me. I'm like, they're gonna be distracted over there. I get this whole bowl to myself. I'm getting two to three rips in. You know?
Wait, you don't even dip into the guac in the queso?
Because
you gotta try
it. I'll try it. But like, I got my eyes set on the prize.
If you go out of the way and order chips and guac and queso, you have to fully expect that everybody you just ordered that for the table.
Yeah. You know what? I'm spitting now. You can't pull the move after this. With three guacs with three dips, you got the salsa, the queso, and the guac. I'm spitting people, and I've seen this, that dip in all three of them. Act like they own all the bowls and then just continue to do it like it's nothing. And you're contaminating all the sauces. It's disgusting. Spit. That's my spit.
That can't be your spit.
That's unbelievable. We just did like six or seven right there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that was good.
Beautiful.
That was good. I did not expect chips and salsa to be a topic of conversation. I didn't know it would be this fruitful either, like especially about a tomato or whatever. That's stupid. All right. What was your swallow, Turner? Stadium cups?
Stadium cups and then free chips and salsa?
Free chips and salsa. And then you transition into spitting on the charge for this. Do you have another spit, or is your spit the actual charge?
Oh, no, my spit. Yeah, no. Here's who I'm spitting. He played baseball for the Yankees, funny enough. Played baseball for the Cubs. Played baseball for a lot of teams. He's been in some hot water before for some uncouth sexual acts. But this one just takes the cake, dude. I'm spitting Aroldis Chapman. This guy. You guys see this video?
I have not. No. I saw Barter texted about it in the group chat earlier, so I'll pull it up.
He's just milking his mother's teas, dude. He's just giving them big old honks for like 15 seconds. Never seen something more disgusting. So I'm spitting Aroldis Chapman. This guy, you know, he came out of the scene throwing 105 miles an hour. But, just watch the video. It's not as graphic as much as it's a little just like goofy. But that's who I'm spitting, Aroldis Chapman. This guy is just a sexual deviant.
It's really funny. He's just actively squeezing her breast.
Who is that man?
That's his mother?
That's a pitcher. He used to play for the Yankees. He threw like a 102-mile-an-hour fastball, did he?
That's his mother?
Did that video get leaked?
He posted it himself.
Oh,
no. This is not leaked. This was on his story. That is great, dude. And his name on Instagram is the Cuban Missile 54, so you know that's like a dick joke. And he's probably just bricked up on this couch just squeezing his mom's tits, dude. It's intimate.
How do you have that much CTE? As a baseball player, you're not even getting
He's a deviant,
dude.
And she's not even phased by it either.
That's not the first time That's not the first time he's going to honk in those horns, dude. Yeah. You got to honk those horns a lot of times before you put it on Instagram as your story. Nothing I think is funnier than when people just self-sabotage. Like, you didn't have to post that.
No, he really didn't. I don't know if that's like acceptable in his like in Cuba.
That's what I was just wondering.
From Cuba, is that a
purposeful act? I'll answer that question for you. No.
If you're Cuban listening, let us know.
Grab your mom's tits like that.
It's kind of like how Italians just honk their dad's dick. Like we just like grow up to our dad and just start squeezing his balls.
I've never done.
It was a joke. It was a terrible joke.
Oh, you. That was funny.
Cerrone, we'll save your spit for last because the story is insane. I should have actually hyped it at the beginning of the pod. Go ahead, Burke. What's your spit?
Yeah, so on top of the three sauce dipping, my other spit is going to be – I saw the story between – I mean, hey, it is what it is. These are the people we're talking about. Between Sexy Red, Aiden Ross, she came out and was basically saying something about how – she basically admitted to being a prostitute by saying that Ada Ross paid her for sex and he's got to move on is basically what she was saying. She's like, yeah, we had sex. You paid me. Next, like, move on. Aiden Ross came back and said, oh, fuck this. I didn't pay for shit. But he confirmed that he lost his black virginity to her. That's what he said. He said, I lost my black virginity to her. It's a super, super stupid story. But the point of this is that I think I'm just spitting. Not everything needs to be on the internet. I don't need to be scrolling through Instagram and reading that story that I obviously can barely remember. Or see that video
that we just watched. That
video. Yeah. Not everything needs to be on the internet, everybody.
Did you find this?
Have you paid for sex, Berg?
What was your source for this at rap?
How'd you know?
I figured.
That was a great dramatic beat. That's perfect acting.
I don't follow that account.
My coach would have loved that.
I think if you just unfollowed that Instagram account, it was good acting on your part, Berg. If you just unfollowed that stupid fucking account, like, because, like, they post, like, the weirdest shit. They will post, like, you know, Trump versus Biden stuff, but they'll also just post Sexy Red versus Aiden Ross stuff. It's like they need to pick their niche a little bit better. It's called rap. Just follow rap. And I guess that has to do with rap.
But then they'll just randomly post happy birthday Common. And I'm like, oh, it's Common's birthday. Good to know.
I think the most surprising thing from that whole story was his black virginity.
Yeah.
That was the most surprising thing I heard.
Yeah, she said, you pay me to take your virginity. I think the most surprising
thing is, why would you ever pay to bang? That girl is disgusting.
Well, he followed up. He commented on Rap's post and said, she's my first black girl. Yes, she took my black girl virginity, but I didn't pay. What the fuck's she on about lying? Shit is crazy.
Yeah, he definitely paid.
Yeah, he definitely paid. That's what I thought, too. First
dude,
thing.
That's the classic. That's reading. The classic move, dude. When you get caught in a pickle like that and you tell half the truth instead of the whole truth, you're like, You're conceding one pit, but then denying like the worst part of it.
Right.
Classic you're so move right. that he just pulled there.
You're giving them an inch to take a mile. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was guilty. A terrible story. So, Mike, I can't wait to hear your spit.
All right. So I'm spitting. What would I be spitting?
Dogs.
I guess unleashed dogs.
Yep.
Now listen. I'm a dog guy. I love dogs. Okay, I just moved in with fucking my best friend. He's got this cute little Frenchie. Love dogs. Do I trust dogs? No. Because door-to-door sales, it just breeds unruly just situations and madness. Long story short, I'll make this not insanely long. I was staying at my boy's house in San Diego because my cousin's down there just had a kid. I was like, you know what? I'll do something nice. I'll go stay there for a weekend. Go see my cousin, go see my new nephew or whatever, or if that's, I don't think it's a nephew, or my new cousin. And they're not at the house. They say, listen, we obviously have to lock all the doors. We're going to leave the back window open. Just go through the gate, hop into the window. The house is yours for the weekend. I'm like, perfect. I show up at like 12:30, like past midnight, because I drove down from, I was on set, and then I had to drive all the way down from LA. I go through the gate, the side gate, it's pitch black. I take about 4 or 5 steps into this back alleyway, and I had no idea that it's one of those duplexes things to where there's someone else living in a different house behind their home. I take 4 or 5 steps, and I hear dog paws on the cement. And I take one look over to see, you know, what's going on, and it's probably 160, 170-pound German Shepherd. And immediately – barking full sprint. I mean, this, she's on one mission. It's to fucking bite my face off and that's it. So I turn around, sprint towards the gate, quickly realize that there is no time to stop, unlatch this gate and fucking go through, because this thing is on my heels. So instead of fucking unlatching it, I grab this like 8-foot gate, just launch myself over it, like head first, and I do a little tuck and roll action, you know, try to do a little James Bond, you know, just a little parkour. But I tuck and roll my face right into this wooden beam. I gotta get 5 stitches in my dome piece at like 1 a.m. at the emergency room. I fucked up my whole elbows, my fingers are busted. The guy comes out freaking out because he thinks I'm trying to rob the place. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, dude, I know Rob Matt Austin with the red hair. Calm him down. I was about to go to sleep and it's still bleeding. Dude, then I go to the ER at like one. You don't want to be at the ER at 1 a.m. on a Friday, dude. And there's drunk car accident people. There's fucking blood everywhere. People screaming. The guy sitting next to me was fully clothed in a jacket and jeans. Just pissed himself sitting there. Didn't give a fuck. Made the other girl clean it up. Madness. I go to the doctor. They're cracking up, laughing at me. They stitch it up. He was actually pretty funny. He was even like, he was like, dude, as much as this sucks, getting stitches in your face at 1 a.m. on a Friday, you would have been way worse if that dog bit you. Cause there's like, when dogs bite you, you can get like these crazy, weird, like diseases. Like you got to go on like antibiotics, steroids, all this crazy shit. So that motherfucker didn't get me. He did not. I won that battle. I won that battle with the dog for about 30, like a millisecond. And then quickly lost the battle as I smashed my face off the wooden the beam. Yeah. Fucked up. I got up. I thought it was, there's blood all over my shit. Yeah, dude, if you got a dog, like, especially with, we do the door-to-door sales, you got to get them on a leash or you got to get them, you know, somewhere inside because you see it all the time with the viral videos with like the UPS people, like the dogs like going crazy. I'm like, dude, if someone's going to come to your front door, like you got to fucking, and if that thing's vicious, like you got to fucking lock it up. Now, yes, it was 1 a.m. and yes, I was jumping it. Like it was a very suspicious look, but like, don't leave that thing fucking, you know, out in the yard like that. But yeah, fucked up my face. And here we are. We're good to go. Dude, that, it just can never be easy with me. It can never be easy.
That was like your Sandlot moment right there. Just literally, running from big Hercules, flying over the fence.
Yep. And that thing was, she was vicious.
Flyers?
No, I wish I do. I do have a pair of PF flyers.
Your flyers on you landed it. Yeah.
That's true. or it stuck the fucking Mike, landing like Benny.
This is crazy that you say this. So Thursday night, I flew into Salt Lake City. I'm getting to my buddy's place also incredibly late, like 12:30, take a taxi. I get out of the car. I'm drowsy, been a long day of traveling, you know, layover, all that. Literally take one step, the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. It's like one of those mountain dogs just sitting there staring at me. And I almost had a fucking heart attack because I was like, what the fuck is this dog doing? I couldn't find it. I didn't see anybody in sight. It didn't seem to be like in the yard or anything. Yeah, so I just bro, like it sniffed me up and down bone. A little bit. And I was kind of like, dude, what the hell? It didn't attack
That's
me.
Insane that you let him.
Just kind of did my business. And then I see him just kind of run off into the night, like back down a block the other way.
Yeah, bro. It's like put your dog
It was
away.
Insane. I almost had a heart attack.
Bro, when that thing was coming at me, because I mean, I see it full sprint, bark like teeth out from like maybe like 20 yards away. And I just knew it was, there was no trying to hope she's friendly,
German,
hope it'll be okay.
German Shepherds
it was
too
a
are pretty
full
protective
sprint
like that.
To the gate. Oh, dude. So, dude, I used to, when in the Marines, they would have German Shepherds. And I used to see them because we'd watch them do the drills and they would install titanium teeth in these things. And yeah, bro, if they don't know you or don't trust you, it's a bad day. Like it's fucked.
I get into the house. They've been baking a little bit, trying to explain how scary the situation was. Like, cool, dude.
Yeah.
Love it.
Dude.
There's no stitches, you know, there's nothing wrong to my face, but like, believe me. It was second.
And dude, then like, Rod, I got Clarkson 20 plus points. I'm like, shut up.
And then my boys, like Rob texts me. He's like, yo, it's been like 30 minutes. Like, did you get in? Did you find the window? And I just send him a selfie in the ER with blood pouring down my face. And he's like, bro, it is never easy with you. Like, it's just there's just a story. Every like my mom used to say, she's like, someone is running your life as a video game. In this, it's just never easy. But yeah, so leash your dog, okay? I'm spitting unleashed dogs biting me to death. But yeah, it was a good weekend after that. Oh, then also I had to go I had dinner with my family after that. Couldn't shower for 24 hours because the stitches. So I show up to the breakfast with my cousin. I'm like, yeah, man, I smell like shit. Like I'm sweaty. There's stitches in my face. Like, and it's just, you know.
I didn't know that. That's
just
great.
A shit show. Just a
typical looking like
Cerrone shit show.
Covered in blood, smelling like sweat, and German Shepherd like drool that he was like launching at you from like 14 feet. Like that's because like imagine, you know, you pull up to that to, you know, Maxwell Robin Drell's place. And instead of being a German Shepherd, it's just like, it's a Pepe, it's a Frenchie. It's like, you have nothing to worry about. Like, those guys you can keep outside. Like, if they get eaten by a wolf, so be it. That's natural selection, baby. But if it's a German Shepherd dog, like, dude, like, come on.
No.
if it's a Frenchie, like, he would sprint at you and he would launch himself in the air at you and you just catch it and be like, you're such a good boy. But if it's a German Shepherd, bro, like, that's a totally different story.
Yeah, that thing had, because I've gotten bit by a German Shepherd before, knocking doors. And it was probably the scariest. It just scarred me, man. Like I was saying before, I like dogs. I love dogs, but I just don't trust. Just had too many fucked up encounters with them biting me. So yeah, but we're good. You know, we made it for a good story. I made a TikTok about it. It's going viral right now. We're doing good. I'm going to make some money off it. And we live to live another beat, and we'll play where it lands. Fuck German Shepherds.
Yeah. I'm spinning.
Maybe you'll land a gig off that.
Yeah. There you go. You know, yeah, everything happens for a reason. I am spinning the 90s because my favorite person on Instagram right now is the "We Done with the 90s." It's just this dude on IG. I'm not sure if he's come across your guys' timeline, but he's blowing up on Twitter
with the basketball.
Right now. He's very into the NBA. He's a huge LeBron stan. He's a LeBronianist, and LeBronianism we trust. And you know, he's essentially just been crushing the tape. And this is something that I've been honing in on for years. And I've never, like, not a lot of people have listened to me about it, but I've been saying it for years. I still say it. I think it'll be the same thing that we can say 20 years from now. Human evolution is a very real thing, gentlemen. And basketball is still a very young sport. Christopher Nolan said it the other night at the Oscars when he won Best Picture and Best Director. He was like, you know, this art form is only 100 years. He's like, imagine how far art will come after 100 years, like in music. Like if we had only been 100 years of music or painting, like those have existed for, you know, 2000 years. Movies, however, are very young. Basketball, very young sport. We have only come so far as a basketball fandom, talent, skill, just a generation. So when you go back and you watch those guys who had been playing in the 1980s and 1990s, and if you go further to the 70s and 60s, I am firmly of the belief. Berg, who's the best college basketball team right now? Is it Houston?
Texas Tech.
Okay.
Yeah, even Houston's a good one.
I'll take even Iowa State, you know, like one of the 15 best teams in the country. All right, just the top 15, somewhere around that range. The Iowa State team in 2024, if they played like the 1981 Seattle Supersonics, they would kick the living shit out of them. It wouldn't be a competition. No way. 100%. And I don't believe, like, you remember, like, in, like, I think it was like 2014 when people were like, can Kentucky beat the Philadelphia 76ers? No, a college team could not beat an NBA team in the same year. That wasn't going to happen. But if the 2024 Houston, whatever, if they time traveled back to like the 80s, they'd win the title because like basketball players are just way, way better now. People are way more athletic. I am firmly of this belief. I don't even think it's close. And I think it'll be the same thing 30 years from now. I think LeBron is the best basketball player of all time right now. 30 years from now, somebody's going to be better than LeBron. Like, that's just the reality of human evolution, the reality of the sport. It's just a totally different sport. Like, dude, if Houston goes back to the 80s.
Hitting his head on the rim.
Exactly. Like, and, you know, Clyde Drexler, Michael Jordan, those were terrific athletes. But, like, you watch the tape, they literally didn't go left. Like, it's not a joke. Like, they literally would not go left. If they did, they'd finish with their right hand. Like, it's just a thing. So, I'm done with the 80s. I'm done with the 90s. Like, all the credit in the world to them. I respect them because our game would not be where it is now if it wasn't for those brilliant pioneers who changed it and evolved it. But that's the nature of evolution, man. Like, if you put fucking Derrick Henry in an NFL game in 1975, he's going for 450 to 500 yards. Raps.
This is a little bit like my spit last week between Caitlin Clark and Pistol Pete. Like, you got to just siphon it off for like 15-year eras and be like, this is the best, right, of this era. And, like, let's celebrate that. Now, you know, we've moved on. We're better. This is the best of this 15-year era. Like, we don't need to – like, have you seen Bob Cousy dribble? This was like a 5-time NBA champion. You can't dribble.
It's insane. It's like I'm a better ball handler than Bob Cousy. Like, I can confidently say that. There's no way he knows what an in and out or a tween is. Like, he wouldn't even think about doing a dribble combo. I'm watching Pete Maravich highlights the other day because I just want to go see what Pete Maravich was like again. And I'm just like rewinding it. I'm like, dude, I see Halliburton do this shit 15 times a night. Like, we're in just such a great place as basketball
fans. Once again, going back to it,
spoiled now.
Flowers to Pete for being the best of his era, though, you know?
Best of his era. Yes, of course. But the time travel thing, it's just like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, and you can make the argument like, all right, what if you do it the reverse way? Like, what if you bring Larry Bird to right now? I mean, if you bring baby Larry Bird to right now and he gets to grow up in this era, then hell yeah, he's going to be one of them ones. But if you just took 1984 Larry Bird, whatever the best version of him is, and you drop it in 2024, I think Maxie Kleber is getting minutes in front of him. Like, I really do. Like, I'm sorry. He's just an athletic, more athletic guy.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, we'll never know, I guess. But yeah, I see where you're coming from. On a side take, have you seen Larry Bird's son or nephew?
No, why?
Dog. It's going to be insane when he goes to college.
Is he actually his nephew or his son, or is somebody on Instagram just like, this guy plays like Larry Bird, it might be his son or nephew?
Oh, I hope so. No, his name's Jordan Bird, because people were talking about, like, with those two names, his name's Jordan Bird. He's like this white boy with long hair, looks just like him, like yamming, like throwing down, hitting threes. I think he's like in high school or something.
And at the same time, I should say that I think those guys like Larry Bird would be the first ones to admit this. They're like, if he watches Steph, he's going to be like, yeah, dude, Steph is way better at basketball than I ever was. Like, I can never dribble like that. I can never move like that. I can't even shoot like that. And I was the best shooter of my generation. And you know what? Hope. And there's just like this weird like rivalry where like all these like old school, it's not even the old school players. It's the fans. The fans are always like, yeah, back in my day, it was better. No, it wasn't. They sucked.
Yeah, it's just
like,
I'm sorry.
You couldn't even double team in the post. Like, that wasn't allowed. Like, you could easily just post up one-on-one every time you wanted to. Nobody had any bag. Nobody had any post moves except for, like, Hakeem Olajuwon. And he had, like, an up and under. And it's like, Shangoon's doing the same shit now. And once again, credit to them. But I'm,
you know, Larry Bird's only son, adopted son, unfortunately, tried to run his girlfriend over with a car, and now nobody knows where he's at. So, 0-1 on the. Look up, no, it could be his nephew.
When was that?
Type in
not that deep.
Type in Jordan this Bird highlights.
This was 2011. 2011. Okay, 2013. 2014 went to court. Now he's just been, you know, keeping him under wraps. You know, with all Larry's money, he's like, hey, just go fuck off over here.
Jordan Bird is going to be really tough to find, because if you Google him, like if you Google Jordan Bird, it's just going to come up with Michael Jordan and Larry Bird compilations, like them going against each other.
I'll find a video.
Or an American football wide receiver for the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL.
Or maybe it's Michael Bird. Just type in Larry Bird's nephew's highlight.
I don't want to be all negative. His daughter Maria was an NFL cheerleader, so at least he was 1 for 2.
Oh. It's a good. How old is she? 18.
But yeah, okay. My point still stands. If you drop Christian Brown like right now into like a Trailblazers Nuggets game in like 93, like he's the best player on the floor. I'm sorry. It's just
Probably right.
All right, let's move into popcorn picks now.
Popcorn time.
Portion of the podcast where the Popcorn Boys, Cerrone and I, come together and we select one of our favorite pieces of culture. It could be movies, it could be TV, it could be music, it could be anything that we suggest that we think you should engage with. I'll start off. It's really quick. I just rewatched The Revenant the other night. It is on HBO Max right now. Iñárritu, collaboration with Leonardo DiCaprio, Leo's first Oscar that he won Best Actor for. Tom Hardy is also in it. Just kind of a fun rewatch because you get to see Domhnall Gleeson, who I wish there was more of in Hollywood right now. I think he's awesome. You might remember him from Ex Machina. He's the protagonist, I guess you can say, of that movie. He's also in the, you know, the newer version of Star Wars. And then I think it's Ian Poulter, the kid that's from like War of the Millers that gets like the spider bite on his dick. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I love that
kid. The eyebrows kid.
Awesome. Yeah, he's great in The Revenant. But just the bear fight, or not even bear fight, but the bear like terrorizing and essentially like just mauling Leo. I didn't remember it being as vivid and voracious as it was. So when I rewatched it, I was like kind of high and I was like super uncomfortable the entire time. And it lasts for like 6.5 minutes where Leo's just laying on the ground and you can just see like this scratches in his back, and it's just so like it's nasty, and it's a brilliant movie, great revenge story between Leo and Tom Hardy. So yeah, man, a great movie to rewatch. The opening is so fucking thrilling. There's like one sequence where it's essentially like cowboys versus Indians, And it's just, you know, the Native Americans protecting their land, and they're using bows. And then Leo and his crew are using these pellet guns, and it takes them like 17 minutes to reload one fucking chamber of ammo. And it's just so fucking fire, dude. It's just badass. The way that he shoots it too is so cool. You actually feel like you're there. It's very like POV heavy on the camera work. So check out The Revenant again if you haven't seen it in a while. Kicks ass.
I've never seen it, so maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah,
I've always
heard you gotta watch it.
I'm not sure if I've seen it all the way through, but it's a great picture. It definitely looks good. I just know it's long. There's definitely a lot of slow moments. I don't think that takes away from a movie, though.
It is very long and slow. It's, yeah, the bear scene is insane, but yeah, it's definitely not like action packed the whole time. But no, great rewatch.
Inarritu is just a great director. He also did Birdman with Michael Keaton, which is a good watch too.
Trippy movie.
That won Best Picture in 2014, starring Emma Stone. All right.
Why would that people Turner, love that so much?
Such a good movie. One of Barter's favorites.
Shout out Barter.
Did he? Yeah, I can pop up. I can popcorn. I watched Amy on HBO Max, following, you know, nice, the life of Amy Winehouse, and you know, Amy Winehouse tragically passed away at, you know, the age of 27. You kind of know that the whole way through the movie, which, you know, kind of has a black finish to a very fascinating story. They do a great job. It's A24, I believe.
It's documentary.
Yeah,
correct?
It is a documentary. They have a lot of like home footage. They interview a lot of the people that were there. They even get interviews from her kind of tumultuous ex-boyfriend. Don't want to give too much away. I mean, I will say I didn't really know a whole lot about Amy Winehouse. I was probably like 10 when she passed away, maybe a little older. So it was nice to kind of just have a refresher on who she was and the music she created. She really only had two major albums. And I'm popping those too, Frank and Black and Back in Black,
Rehab.
Back to Black. Rehab's on that. A bunch of good tunes. The first one is very.
Pusha T use Amy? Was that Amy Winehouse's bathroom photo for his cover art album?
That was
Whitney Houston.
I think that Whitney was Whitney Houston.
All right, never mind. Sorry.
Honestly, similar tragedy in some ways. But they're both incredible. I've been listening to them a lot, appreciating her music, a once in a generation vocalist. So if you don't know a whole lot about Amy Winehouse or a story, you like jazz music or just a super talented singer that has, you know, demons that she's trying to come to, check it out. It's 2 hours long, and then check out the music too. Cause I just greater appreciation for who she was as an artist.
She has a biopic coming out this year called Back to Black.
She does.
Starring Marissa Abella from Industry.
Very good looking
woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Biopic or biopic?
Oh, might be biopic. I always say biopic, but I think biopic actually sounds
I think it's
better.
Biopic. Exactly. Biopic sounds like a procedure.
It does. Like a bi. Yeah.
I think it is.
One, I was watching Hot Ones today with Austin Butler, and the guy said biopic, and I was like, ooh. And I was like,
did you watch the Hot Ones with Austin Butler?
Yeah.
I just did that the other day too. I'm on an Austin Butler. Yeah. I can't get better than that guy, man. He's the best.
He's a stud. Hot Ones is just the perfect. I love that show because he gets everybody that's relevant, everybody that's doing something. It's a great show.
Yeah, and Amy Winehouse was obviously a big drug user, but definitely more focusing on the nicotine aspect. She loved to smoke her cigs. I love going through a little like meme rabbit hole of Amy Winehouse and just seeing, you know, because everybody knows she loves her cigs. People love her, and they just go, Amy Winehouse would fucking love Jules, man. She would have loved vapes if she was still around. Yeah. Like, that's so true. I could just people Photoshop her holding water. Like, it looks so perfect.
I was thinking about that earlier, actually. I can't remember what the context was that led me to like that thought, but it was like one of my favorite tweets is, you know, RIP Amy Winehouse, you would have loved Jewel. And it's just like, I hope people say that about me someday where it's like, you know, like whatever Babylon comes out, it's like RIP Ralph Compiano, you would have loved Babylon 4. Like it's just, and maybe that's like a depressing thought, but yeah, I think that's fun. All right, Cerrone, what is your popcorn pick?
So I was gonna, we already kind of talked about this, but I was gonna talk about players going to rival teams and just how you do not do that. But we kind of already talked about that.
How would that again, be a popcorn just, pick? In what context? Like a documentary about players going to rival
teams?
Yeah,
I don't really know. I just fucking...
It could be I was 30 getting
lost. Rubbed Mike the wrong way, dude. He's got to get it off his chest.
I switched, yeah, because I also had this story about gluten, which is just way out of left field.
Again, not a popcorn pick. We can go to Berg and you come up with something that you've seen recently.
The free agency is kind of culture, and I've been seeing recently.
Sure.
But for the love of God, man, like you got to have the respect and the fucking dignity for yourself.
You can't
to not
going on
go
if it's
to
not
the Steelers,
a popcorn
man.
Pick.
30 other teams. He knows all our schemes, all our tendencies, and he's going to go to the one team that he was supposed to hate, everybody's supposed to hate, and just probably gonna lose the Steelers twice again next year because of Queen. Right. So thanks.
No, he's gonna stay loyal. Mecole Hardman stayed loyal when he switched from the Jets.
No, he already. You think he's not gonna? He's gonna. You think he's not gonna give anything up?
Well, do you think he was the brains of that operation, a middle linebacker from LSU that went to Baltimore? He's definitely Roquan. Like if they had the green dot on the back of the helmet that was calling the plays. It was just Patrick Queen go out there and chase somebody from sideline to sideline. But we gotta go to Berg because Berg has an actual popcorn pick. You gotta come up with a popcorn pick, Cerrone.
All right. I can't do my gluten story. I'll think of something else.
Okay. I had some popcorn last night. It was good. Burnt the first batch, but second batch was heavenly. So,
dude, Berg, can you turn down the gain more, man? This is absurd.
Yeah,
once he put the sunglasses on, his volume went up.
What about
like
now?
His mindset?
Yeah, you got turned.
Yeah.
It's like
all
the way down.
You sound money,
you
baby.
You sound good. You sound better.
You're so money, baby, you don't even know it. Go over there and talk to those babies over there. They'll love you, baby.
That is a future popcorn pick. It's a great line from a great movie. But that's not what the popcorn pick. I'll get that one in the future. But, you know, still on the journey of Game of Thrones, it's not my popcorn pick, but it feels valuable or it feels like I should be sharing this journey with you. We're finally on season 8 of Game of Thrones, you know, watching it with somebody for the first time. I felt like we'd never get here. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life after this show ends again. So I kind of feel like I was back in 2019. But that aside, my popcorn pick is going to be a movie called Roadhouse. It's not a great movie. It's not one of the best movies. I think I gave it 2.5 on Letterboxd. But it's got Patrick Swayze. And just so you know they're coming out. I think it was 1984, something
Fuck
like that. They're coming out with a new one with our boy Jake Gyllenhaal. Jakey's gonna be in it. And Conor McGregor.
McGregor,
that guy. So that's not what the first one's like at all. I don't get Jake Gyllenhaal or Conor McGregor vibes from the first one, but just a little. You know, this is what they're telling you before they get into the premise of the story. Says so. It's Roadhouse. It follows a man named James Dalton, played by Patrick Swayze, and it's Dalton lives like a loner. He fights like a professional and loves like there's no tomorrow. And that's basically
– Are you reading the description?
Yeah, that's basically what the movie's about. It's nothing too deep.
I want that
in
my headstone.
It's kind of a fun little just piece of entertainment. It's a show some of – if you're a country fan, like a Corey Machete in my life, you're going to love this movie. There's something – it's something like the 80s to just boost up this, you know, big masculine man and – That's just Patrick Swayze in it, you know. It's pure 80s movie. It's a good time. And if you're a bouncer, you'll love this movie because it's all about bouncers. It's like the sports movie for bouncers, really.
Yep.
They got teams of them. They know, like, is that Danny down in Atlanta or Jamie on the East Coast? Like, they're connected like that. So Dalton's just kind of running away from stuff in his life, goes to this new place, and just tries to clean it up. It's a pretty big shit show, and you know, he runs into some problems there, obviously. Finds some love with a woman. And you get to see that woman a little naked. And her name is Kelly Lynch. Sam Elliott is in it, too, when he was young. A young Sam Elliott in there. I'll hardly recognize him.
How has his voice changed? Or was it the voice still just Sam Elliott?
It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. He just looks 20 years younger. His hair has color to it. But he talks the same way.
he's 40 years younger in that one.
Holy shit.
Because that's 40 years ago. But yeah, Swayze, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, you're right. They were just propping up these 80s badasses. Mm-hmm. And they all had last names that started with an S. Just a fun little coincidence there. But yeah, Roadhouse is just a movie. If you want to see a hot guy kick a lot of ass, then that's the movie to watch. And 2.5 out of 5 stars, I think that's fair. I think that's appropriate. You might be being a decent. Little bit critical there, but that's all right. I'm very excited. I know that's Cerrone's most anticipated movie of the year.
I'm a huge, yeah, you could say of the year so far. I mean, Dune 2 was obviously I was super hyped about, but
Furiosa.
I love those middle tier
B movies.
Like Jake Gyllenhaal, those Miles Teller, the Shia LaBeouf. Like those middle, yeah, dude, I feast on that. It's a little bit cheesier than like the, you know, the big movies, everybody, drama. But
yeah,
but you know, you're still going to get a good product with Gyllenhaal. He's one of my favorite actors. Yeah, that's huge. I'm pumped. That was a perfect time to rewatch it. I might dabble again to get ready. I think the new one comes out probably in like a month or so soon.
I'll check release date. All right, Cerrone, what's your official popcorn pick?
Yeah, I'm trying to think music, sports, movies. I've been listening to a lot of country music, watching a lot of basketball. But one movie I rewatched right off of Miles Teller and surprisingly a lot of people haven't seen this, but is Whiplash. I rewatched that like 3 or 4 days ago. And I was just like, Miles Teller is so good. What kind of just blew my mind was, I don't know how you make a drumming, because like, you know, when you go to high school, you see kids in band and in theater and like, it's just the lamest thing of all time. And it's like that you kind of make fun of them and it's just like not like the popular kids, but just if you haven't seen it, it's a must watch. The acting is top notch. And then somehow they make the subject of, you know, drumming this, you almost think he's playing like he's training for like the NFL. The NBA, like just the craziest intensity through the roof. Everybody's so good acting wise, and Miles Teller just fucking kills it, just fucking nails it. I love him so much. Yeah, if you haven't seen that, a lot of people haven't seen it because I feel like you, if you just read probably the description of this guy drumming and kind of gives up his life, and it's just a pure story of just dedication, just going after what you love, just fucking, it's like the Kobe Bryant of drums. Just hell of a fucking movie. I'd probably rate that. Or where do you have that rated, Ralph?
5 stars. That's like, my top 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 5 stars.
Yeah. I rewatched that. I think it was 3 or 4 days ago before I left to San Diego to just get my ass chewed out by a fucking wooden fence. But yeah, I was surprised to see how many people haven't seen it and just fucking.
On first watch, you hate Terrence Fletcher, kind of the antagonist of the movie.
So good too.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons. But the more you watch it, the more he's just like hilarious. Like how over the top and just how much of an asshole he is. And some of his one-liners are just absolutely gold. Phenomenal recommendation.
Like when he throws the fucking the book or whatever. Or the symbol. Yeah. And it's, you know what reminds me of? It reminds me of those interviews with Tim Grover and Michael Jordan. How like you just find one of those coaches along the way, these special, you know, kids or athletes that just are so brutal, but like they're just truly trying to get the best out of you. And it's like that exact thing with Tim Grover and Jordan and Kobe. And then you have this guy with this drummer and they somehow make it just the crazy, like you're on the edge of your seat. You're rooting for this kid the whole time. And it's like the most intense movie. It literally just about band. About a like an opera and drum, it's just or orchestrating. Maestro, another great movie that I watched recently that was just unbelievable. But yeah, it's just impressive to me to make that subject that much of a fucking
thrill. Yeah,
thrill. That's the word. There's a thriller of a movie. Like, well, just, it's you can't even
also just like this. Like Miles Teller, I think it's such an interest because it's 10 years ago now that this came out. It was 2014, and originally concepted by Damien Chazelle, who made La La Land, Babylon, First Man. This is his first real movie. And he originally made a short film, same concept, didn't have Miles Teller, but it did have J.K. Simmons. So the fact that J.K. Simmons was willing to take a risk on this baby budget movie, just like an indie like this, and then it became this Oscar award winning picture, it really like printed Chazelle's ticket as like the golden boy of Hollywood, like kind of like our generation's PTA or Tarantino, where now, you know, he's four movies into his career. He's taken some really big swings, and it's 107 minutes long. It's on Netflix right now. It's a quick watch, but it's almost a draining watch. I think that's the theme with a lot of his movies, is that you're almost exhausted by the end of them. Turner Berg, we saw Babylon together, Otto.
You're definitely exhausted by the end of that.
Like he has this like innate skill to take art and make it feel like a sport, where it's very competitive and it's just like adrenaline-inducing. Yeah. And it's interesting. I think we've all seen La La Land, probably. If you haven't, it's a great watch. But First Man is kind of a total departure from those other three movies. So I think it's so interesting he made that. That's with Gosling as Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. And it's much slower movie, much more calm. So I'm really interested to see what his next movie is going to be, because, I mean, it's been, what, 2 years since Babylon now? I haven't heard of anything
Babylon he's in production so good on yet. Too.
And I think he's a genius, man. I think that he is like, you know, he's like early 40s, late 30s. He's like same age as Gerwig, Peele, all these other great directors. So Whiplash is a movie I revisit all the time. I think this is the perfect popcorn pick for us, Ronan, because this is just, it's on Netflix. It's very watchable. And then the other thing is like, you leave it and you're like, holy fuck, that's one of the best things I've ever seen. And anytime,
it almost made me want to drum. Like, it was like, man, like, I just felt like this is fucking, that was nuts. Like, or it makes you, it inspires you to fucking go all in on something. It's like, it's a very,
it examines that too. Like that all in-ness, it's like, if you're going to go all in, like, this is what it looks like. And this is what the repercussions are, because like, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but like, there's a storyline with a girlfriend in it and she's a very lovely girl. And then there's the family. And then there's like the my favorite scene in the whole movie, I think, is the dinner scene where JK isn't even in the scene.
Four words you'll never hear with in NFL.
Yeah, exactly. Just such a great fucking movie. But yeah, that's money.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix right now. All right. I don't think we have anything else. Do we want to do college basketball really quick before we get out of here, or should we sign off and then save it for Box Out Boys?
We're good. Yeah.
Okay, so Sunday into Monday, we'll do a Selection Sunday kind of show, pumping up the bracket, all that kind of fun stuff.
Pop off bracket coming out. We're going to
I will put the link in the bio of this episode. You can sign up for the Pop Off Pod bracket. The password is Petey's Pubes, all lowercase, PETEYS. PUBES. Cerrone's the creator of the group. We'll put it in the bracket. We'll put it in the bio so you can sign up there. Make sure to listen to this week's episode of Rent Money. Great episode by Turner and Capsch. Nice to just hear Capsch's voice again. Missed it a lot. Make sure to listen to
Box Out Boys next week. I absolutely hate the fact that I thought about Petey's Pubes for a second. I'm like, Pete, what?
They're probably so curly.
I mean, just a fun fact. Like, one day, like, you know, I mean, this might be revealing too much on the pod, TMI. But like one day, Petey and I were just like, I don't know, we were younger. We were way younger. Like, we just like looked at each other's dicks and we were just like, wow, we have the exact same dick. It's so weird. Like, it's literally like a carbon copy of one another. Just so funny. Like, same curve and everything.
Is that kind of reassuring to know, though?
No. I was like, there should like, be. I'm like, because he's left-handed, I'm right-handed. The curve should be a little bit different. But like,
yours is this small,
like,
too?
I was like, that looks familiar. Yeah, exactly. I was like, it's good to know you didn't get the bigger one. All right. Exactly. Thank you guys for listening. We love you. We will see you on the other side.
It was a great episode.